What if science could make you live forever without God? From digital avatars to brain uploading, the lie of Eden is reborn. The unfiltered, uncensored truth about immortality without God starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton over there on the left-hand side of your screen. Join us from New York City, and I believe...
I'm in Babel.
I believe that Nestor Arce is also up there in the New York area as well.
I am.
And, guys, we have got the show tonight that I call him the propaganda media, and I'm talking about all
of them. I could tell. That guy was excited when he was talking about it.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you. We're going to out a bunch of people today. We're going to tell you exactly who these people are that want to basically kill you and make sure that your eternity is spent in hell. And this isn't going to be pleasant for a lot of people to listen to because we're going to tell you the truth. So if you're afraid of the truth, if you want to hide, if you are a snowflake or something like that, then you might want to go away because we're going to out your people
big
time. But we're going to do it factually. We're going to tell you the truth, okay? So can you handle the truth? That's the big deal. Can you handle the truth? Because that's what we're going to be dishing out today. David, would you play us into this episode? This, and by the way, this is going to be a two-parter. Go ahead.
It's going to have to be with all this stuff we got. Can I use, like, you know, name-calling terms?
As long as they're family-friendly, you can.
They sure are. Thank you, Father, that we are not fruitcakes, and we are not lightning loafers. We're not flakes, but we seek your word, and we seek your face. We seek your glory, and we pray, Father, this word would get out and cause others to also not be fruitcakes. So we give you all the praise and glory for that, and we ask that your word go forth and produce the fruit that you would have it produce. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I think it's probably appropriate at this point to tell the audience that you guys have had your show out there, the Shadows of a Greater Reality, out there for about 3 weeks now. And this is a perfect show. If you guys have been a part of that one, this is one that's going to be right along with it. It's going to be right up there with it. And these guys know what they're talking about. A lot of this stuff, as far as their show goes, is out of my ability to comprehend even, but
purview, would you say?
Yeah,
purview?
They're real good. They're real good at it. But today we're really going to dive deep, and we'll do that again in our very next show as well. So
hey, Nestor, why don't you tell them a little bit about our show in case they haven't seen
it? Why don't you do that? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So basically, Shadows of a Greater Reality, if you're the kind of Christian that's like UFO, ghost, cryptids, mind, conspiracies, you're into all that kind of stuff and you're trying to make sense of what all that is in terms of the biblical worldview, well, we're the show to come to.
And talk into the mic.
Hello.
That's good. Better.
Can you guys hear me? There you go.
Yeah, you're good, Nestor. Go ahead.
All right. Sorry, we're having technical difficulties over here. But yeah, if you guys like conspiracy theories, if you guys like cryptids, UFOs, and all that stuff, we're the show to come to. And David and I talk about everything from Watchers, from vampires. We talk about Apocrypha stuff. Anything, you know, that you can think about is, you know, on the table. So I recommend you guys come through and check us out if you can.
Hey, you know what's going to be really weird?
Nestor, real quick here. Nestor, I have turned you up, okay? So you can kind of back off now. So I've turned you up, okay? So you
thank you.
You are all very, right. You're very, very welcome. Okay.
He's got that R2-D2 mic right there. Looks
Now, I do want to, before we get too deep in here, I want to show everybody what we do expect to talk about from the next two shows. Segment one is going to be the Days of Noah Revisited. And we're going to get into that scripture here pretty quick, but I'm going to tell you now that exactly what scripture says is what is unfolding. In segment two, we'll talk about the rise of the machine man. Now, this is where we're going to start really getting into some things that the mainstream media does not want you to know about. And then in the next show, we'll talk about the immortality without God and also Revelation and the Post-Human Era. And that is a show, I promise you, that you guys are not going to want to miss. Okay, David, before we get going, I do need to let everybody know that we are, here at The Last Christian, 100% reliant on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, makes a real difference and is fully tax-deductible. Now, you can also support us by shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net. When you buy, they give, and we grow. Everyday Dose Coffee, start your day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and body without the crash. There's the Conservative Store. Wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition made from time-tested ingredients your body will thank you for. And then Christian Book, from Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources. They've got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. So visit lastchristian.net today to donate or shop with a purpose. Together, we're reaching the world for Christ, one message at a time. Okay, jumping right into it, guys, because we got a lot to cover, and I do mean a lot. We're going to start with the introduction here and get going. This is Genesis 6, the origin of the Nephilim. Now, Genesis 6, 1 through 4, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, a couple of things real quick, David. I'll let you talk about the 120-year thing, because I think that's a good point to start with. And then, Nestor, you can follow up on that.
Sure. The 120 years? There's a couple things that go. And remember, we're always about both end, because people right. argue about different interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all of these fit. People say, we should be able to live to 120 years. Well, we kind of can, but that's like at the max end of it. But then later on in the Bible, it says the Lord's gracious will give you 70 years, and if you're good, he'll give you 80.
Mm-hmm.
But we've proven that you can live to 120 years, but that seems to be the max.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think he maxed it out at 120.
Okay.
And that would make sense, because the Essenes they have a record of living to 120, because they had the Noah's Book of Herbs. Mm-hmm. We talked about that a little bit, and someone kind of stole that from us. But that, you'll find Noah's Book of Herbs in Jubilees chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, right after the flood, he's like, okay, Mastema says he's going to keep 10% of the Nephilim out of the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, okay, Noah gets his Book of Herbs to heal them, so they can't mess with him anymore. So there's that, and we talked about that on the Bible teaching show.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, because it's Jubilees, they sometimes have time passages counted as 1 year is one Jubilee, because that there's like an extra year. There's 7 times 7 is 49, and that 50th year is the Jubilee. So technically, it's that one. On the calendar, they would call it a ketufa. It's that extra one you shove in between, just like the 50 days for Pentecost and stuff like that.
Mm.
So there would be 120 Jubilees,
which
would be about 6,000 years, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right about. Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of adding both of them together. Yeah, we kind of max out our lives at 120 years, but it's also maxing out the lifetime of this age. There's that 6,000 years, and then right at the end of that, Jesus comes to reign for that 1,000 years, which would be how many more Jubilees? 20. Right? 20? Yeah, I think so. So 2 times 5, yeah. So, because they're 50 years each. So that's just pretty interesting. That's my thought on that.
Okay. Well, now, Nestor, moving on here to the other part of that.
Yeah.
Are you a part of a church that has ever taught Genesis 6?
Well, I'm a part of a church at the moment, but I don't think they've ever taught on Genesis 6. Most of the time, whenever I hear... It is. Most of the time that I hear about Genesis 6, it's like from guys like us on the internet, just a bunch of weirdos getting together, and they're like, hey, like, are you like the only person like reading this in the entire like church world? Or is it like, yeah, it's kind of weird. Let's talk about that, you know? So,
yeah, it's a scary subject, I think. It's a subject that a lot of churches don't want to teach. I was a part of a church that had a teaching on it, and there was people in there that were saying, oh, no, that's not what it meant. You know, that's not what they're saying. But it's right there in black and white. So if you can't believe it, then what other part of the Bible don't you believe? Would be my question. So continuing on here with the intro only, this is the warning that was given by Jesus in Matthew 24:36-39. He said, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until a flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So the Bible is telling us right there that there is going to be a duplication or a modification, whatever you want to say. But anyway, we're going to get back to the same state where we have got humanity that is mixing with non-human, and that doesn't turn out well, and it's something that God does not allow. Nestor, I didn't give you much of a time to comment on the last one, so go ahead with that one.
Yeah, so I remember going to church, and I was going to a Reformed church at the time, and I found out that a lot of times in these Reformed churches, they end up holding the Sethite view, right? Mm-hmm. So whenever they like read that interpretation of scripture, they think, oh, these were just like a bunch of just normal guys. But when they talk about men of old renown, it just means like, oh, they're just talking about like their reputation. Their reputation was great. Mm-hmm. But when you read what, you know, the word giants means, and you study the old mythology, these weren't just normal people. These were people who were genetically superior to the just regular human beings, because right, they mingled with both angel and human. So they had human capabilities, right? Like, they lived like us, you know, they did things like us, but then they were also capable of things that were beyond what this dimension allows us to do. So I thought that was really interesting. And yeah, very evil. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you think about the fact that, you know, these were creations of rebel angels. Mm-hmm. So naturally their state was very evil, and it reflected that. Mm-hmm. Another reflection I always like to go to is, well, it doesn't make sense to me, because why are people just saying, well, then if these angels were just like, you know, regular people, these giants, right? Then why, when we read when the two spies went to the land of Canaan, why were they afraid of going into that land when it clearly says they had giants in the land, mm-hmm. right? So they must have been so terrified to see something that made them turn back. I doubt just seeing regular human beings made them do that. Additionally as well, just two more observations. When you read through the story of David and you know, the Samuel books, you really just see Goliath, and it lists out his dimensions, mm-hmm. right? So you're literally seeing a literal giant there. So you're telling me just a few books prior, giants aren't real, but then you're like literally hearing this description of just this monster just standing in front of the Israelite army. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that for like many years, and I remember as a child, I was watching, I believe it was an episode of Ripley's Believe It or Not. Mm-hmm. And I remember in scripture specifically saying that Goliath had 12 fingers, 12 toes. I'm like, that's really interesting. I don't remember any humans having 12 fingers, 12 toes.
No.
So I was watching this video of this guy who was born in the UK with 12 fingers. And so they showed it on camera, And they said that, well, whenever he would be in school, like they would teach all these other kids to count to 10. But because he had 12 fingers, they would show him to count to 12. And they showed him on camera. His fingers were like, they weren't just like, you know, weird like mutations. Like these were fully grown, fully appendable fingers that he would use. And like for me, I always like to refer back to that clip. And I'm like, there we go. The Giants were real, because here's an actual modern day proof of that on camera, of that genetic deformity.
Yeah, and I think we may be, well, I know that we're going to be running into it here in the future. But you made out a point there about the Israelites when they passed on going into the Promised Land because of giants. And as a kid reading the Bible, I never envisioned them as real giants. This is something the church did teach. That part of the Bible they did teach. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, these were just really big guys, really big muscular kind of guys. But that's definitely not what they were, right, David?
No, they were actually hybrids. It just wasn't that it was a big guy. It was that they were deformed in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that they were just big. That we get the same story, gnomes, you know, we get elves, we get gnomes. It's all the same thing. What they were trying to do is create their own species in any way that they can so they can take over creation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when you're watching Peter Pan, you know, it's a Nephilim story. Mm-hmm. Peter's trying to stay young forever. Yeah. And there's a fairy, you know, to it. Twinkle Toes, what's her name?
Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell, that's it.
Mm-hmm. See, that fairies are actually Nephilim, and they tried to crossbreed them with different animals, and so we get mermaids, we get centaurs, we get the gnomes, we get some people think that the Tyrannosaurus Rex was a half man, half alligator. I was like, I don't know. I think it was just a dinosaur, but anyway. And there's a lot of things. If you look at, if you dig into the Hebrew Matthew, it actually has further implications that may or may not be found in the Greek translation, and therefore not definitely not into the English.
Okay.
One of them being before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the normal interpretation of that?
They were doing whatever they wanted to do, however they wanted to do it, and they didn't really care. And, of course, Noah warned them that, you know, something's going to happen, but they could care less. That's what I get out of it.
Okay, but then the question comes up again, why did he put it in there? What is so abnormal about eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage?
Nothing is unusual about it at all.
So that's unusual in the fact that he put something that, why doesn't he say, hey, yeah, you know, and then they went to the bathroom and then, they went shopping on Fridays.
Well, I'd be interested in Nestor's opinion on that. But mine is because of what is written later on, thousands of years later. That comes back and corroborates that testimony. That would be how I looked at it. Nestor, how do you look at it?
Yeah, that's kind of my interpretation of it too. It's just, you know, you're basically explaining the fact that there's like a normalcy bias in this culture. And so, like you said, it's a point that God made in his word so that way he can basically refer back to it thousands of years later and say, hey, like, you see all this stuff that, like, we're doing now? They were doing the same thing back then. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing that they were doing back then is going to happen now. So we got to be on our toes and not just be caught up with everything that we're doing. We need to look up because our redemption is going to draw an eye very soon.
And David, was that the answer you were looking for, or do you have a...
Oh, that's the answer that's out there, but I want to present something else that's in the Hebrew version that you may or may not be aware of.
Okay.
In the Greek, there's a couple different words for eat.
Okay.
And the one here, where we go, in Matthew 24:38, the word is trogo.
Okay.
And then there's other ones that is Strong's 5176. Okay. But then, like in Corinthians, there's whoever eats there, and that is 2068. Okay. So there's different ones. 2068. We'll look that one up. And this one's the Lord's Supper is 53:15. And that eat is, here, hang on.
Okay.
Oh, program's acting up. Hang on a second.
No, you're fine.
That one is phago, which is literally to eat. Okay. The one for Matthew 34:28 is trogo. And it has a different, they just translate as eating, but it's actually to like make a crunching sound as opposed to, hey, I'm just eating, you know, let me eat this banana or something. Okay. But this is a real to make that crunching, to gnaw and to chew. And the idea is to wear down or corrosion. In other words, it's a fierce kind of eating.
Like a breaking bones kind of thing.
Yeah, breaking the bones. And that in the Hebrew, it actually says that just like the giants were eating the flesh and drinking the blood of all those around them, and it wasn't marrying and giving in marriage. It was like in the Hebrew, it implies they were stealing wives so they can marry them, just like the days of Noah.
Yeah. Well, now let's look real quick at this one, because this is what's going on now. It's modern DNA science, rewriting God's design. Science today has entered unprecedented territory, and here you've got CRISPR, the gene editing tool, which is CRISPR-Cas9, allows precise editing of DNA in embryos, plants, animals, and potentially humans. Some researchers are pursuing designer babies, gene therapy to enhance intelligence, strength, or appearance. Now, this is a perfect example of the modern-day Tower of Babel that we had a show on not too long ago. Scientists in China and elsewhere have experimented with human pig and human monkey embryos, raising this is raising deep ethical and theological concerns. These are often justified as a way to grow human organs, but the blurred line between species is eerily similar to Genesis 6 hybridization. Transhumanism and AI integration. I'll get it right here in a second, David. Some technologists advocate for merging man with machine, and we're going to get into this in the next show, but uploading consciousness, enhancing humans with neural implants, hello Elon Musk, and creating a post-human species. Now, this pursuit of immortality without God echoes the serpent's lie, ye shall not surely die, you shall be as gods. That coming out of Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. Nestor, you have any comment on that one?
I actually do have a comment. It's actually a tweet, because I know you mentioned Elon Musk, and we were just talking about AI and genetic mutations. I don't know if you guys went on Twitter sometime in the last 24 hours, but Elon Musk actually released a tweet. And it reads, the path to solving hunger, disease, and poverty is AI and robotics. So obviously, what is that implying there? The path to our issues here on Earth is not God. It's our own making, right? It's basically what we do with our hands. And that includes making not just genetic mutations, but also technological mutations as well. So I think that's really interesting how they're kind of just starting to blend again, the whole singularity thing. They're just starting to blend God and machine and humanity together to basically, I guess, attempt to make humankind the ultimate race. But we saw how well that worked out back in the days of Noah. It didn't work out all too good. So I think we're kind of just on our way there.
Yeah, we're on the cusp of it right now. And I want to put this up here real quick. If you look at the parallels, you get the days of Noah and modern times. Well, in the days of Noah, you had the Nephilim or the genetic hybrids. And today we've got CRISPR. David, I'm not sure about the pronunciation of that one.
Chimeras.
And transhumanism. Then you've got the angelic rebellion. today we've got spiritual rebellion and occultism. Then you have worldwide corruption in the days of Noah. Today we've got moral decay and global depravity. And then you've got the flood judgment in the days of Noah. And for us in the modern time, we have the coming tribulation and the final judgment to look forward to. Now, we only got like 3 minutes left in the first half of this show. But, David, what are your comments on that? I see great parallels there.
Yeah, you're missing the one parallel that we just spoke about, because it's not really spoken of much, and that is the idea of devouring and crunching and munching.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they did. And we see that in the occults, especially, you know, when you go to that place with the big owl that they worship in the woods and you're not supposed to go there.
I mean, bro.
Shh. Okay. So they have been surmised to do such things there with actual people and to the point of even making cakes and say, oh, look, I got a cake in the shape of a human. Oh, isn't that weird? So, and then drinking their blood. And we're definitely going back to that because I think that's where the power is. And again, that was Jesus' contract. We go back to the contract. He says, this bread represents my flesh.
Yeah.
And this wine represents my blood. So, so there we are.
Yeah. Well, you know, Satanists are really taking, back in my childhood, Satanists were looked down just like that. Satanists, it's evil. But now more and more people are going to the Church of Satan. And I noticed that some of them were saying, well, we're not really worshiping Satan. Yeah, you are. No. You really are.
Then why are you going?
Nestor, any comment here? You only got like a minute and a half.
My comment is that the church that I'm currently going to, I found out that it's actually being followed by a couple of Satanist accounts. So I'm like, yeah, I think I might stay here a while. This might get a little fun. Mm-hmm. But number two, just to go back to your point, I've seen that attitude where people just dismiss Satanism. It's just really weird because I remember going on Instagram a few days ago, and there was this like girl like, hey, you like Satanism is really misunderstood. Let me tell you what it's really all about. We're not really, you know, worshiping Satan, even though we have a statue of Baphomet and we have all these sex and like, you know, killing rituals in our services. We're not really doing that. You know, it's just, you know, it's just a regular religion like everyone else. And I think it's sort of that normalization that people are trying to trick, you know, the younger generations into accepting. So that way they could just increase the numbers. And there you go. You know, the falling away is just ramping up.
Well, you said it right there. The falling away is really starting up. And for you people that have yet to accept Jesus Christ yet, you better get on the stick. All you've got to do is let the Lord know you're a sinner. You know that Jesus Christ died for you, that he rose on the third day, and he's coming back again. And if you will acknowledge him as God's son and promise to follow him all the rest of the days of your life, and you mean it from the bottom of your heart, any kind of prayer that you put together, the Holy Spirit will hear it properly, and you will be saved. And you're not going to have to worry about what we're going to be talking about in the second half of the show after a very short break.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run With Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run With Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run With Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, a powerful journey of faith, trauma, and redemption. Dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book, each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams. I almost said my first name. Well, I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed of it. It's Joel.
I kind of missed that guy that was real excited in the beginning. Where'd he go?
Yeah, well, he'll be on our next show. David Paxton is over there on your left, and Nestor Arce there in the middle. They're up there in the northeast right now. And we're going to go ahead and move forward here with this stuff. We'll look at... let me see. We finished that one off, right? So we'll go to this, which is segment two, The Rise of the Machine Man. Now, here's where it begins to get interesting, guys. And this is where we start naming names, too. We got a scriptural tie-in here of Revelation 13, 14, and 15, and Daniel 2, 43, where it says that they will mingle themselves with the seed of men. So we've got technologies right now that we need to talk about. There's Neuralink. That's Elon Musk. This is the human AI, how do you say it, David? Symbiosis?
Symbiosis.
Okay. Then
Symbiosis. Oh, with David.
Okay. Then Colonel, that's Brian Johnson. That's cognitive upgrades and mind enhancement. Enhancement means that they're going to change something, right? DARPA, N3 program. This is a direct military use of brain-machine interfaces. That sounds kind of scary.
That's fun and exciting.
Yeah. Brain cloud interfaces and memory manipulation. That kind of scary. So the prophetic parallel here to start things off is that the worship of the image of the beast, could it be a living AI system? The mark, surveillance, and human-computer identity merging. Nestor, we'll start with you. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, you're already seeing a lot of this stuff play out in real time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, watching films like RoboCop growing up, getting really invested in the whole cyberpunk genre. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you're young. You ever seen the $6 million man?
Yes, I have. My father would make me watch it all the time. We actually remember the episode they called Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite episode. Yeah, yeah. The episode they called Bigfoot. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. But yeah, we're already seeing the scenarios play out in real life, and we've read about this stuff for decades. We've watched movies. Some of us have even played video games based on this stuff for decades. And I remember back in the 90s, I don't know if you guys remember that Keanu Reeves movie, Johnny Mnemonic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so in Johnny Mnemonic, basically that movie was about Keanu Reeves' character. He was basically like this walking hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody was after this guy because he had like these secret government files stuck inside his brain. Now, the really interesting part is that in order to unlock those files, he basically had to memorize a list of like five different memories, or they had to upload a list of like five different memories in order for them to sort of unlock this hard drive in his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wasn't careful, then his brain would basically go and overheat and he would just die, and along with all this data. So flash forwarding now, like, we're actually doing that in the form of cryptocurrency. So if you guys, anyone out there who knows how to put away cryptocurrency in the wallets, they have this thing called seed phrases. And so what seed phrases, another word for the seed phrases, I think it was originally called mnemonics after the movie Johnny Mnemonic. And so in order to unlock your wallet and your financial information inside of these crypto wallets, you basically have to input a list of seed phrases. So like sometimes these seed phrases will come in like random words like boat, shoe, house, banana, and that's the only way you're able to access your information. Now, this is really, really interesting because, you know, back just maybe a few years ago, we would rely on banks, you know, to hold and harbor all this money for us. But now, like, with just a seed phrase in our mind, we're able to literally carry millions of dollars. Well, maybe not literally just yet, but I'm pretty sure sometime in the near future we're going to be doing just that. But you're kind of just starting to see the influx of this starting to merge into our culture in a very just slow way, in a very, like, I guess, normalized way. But you're seeing it already taking over, and now the younger generations are kind of just growing up, kind of like the way I grew up with the internet, where now, you know, we went from like AOL 4.0 and suddenly we're doing radio shows and TV shows like on YouTube and Rumble and all this stuff. And I think you're kind of going to see technology progress that quick, where now it's just like, it's just one seed phrase. And in 10 years, we all got like chips in our heads and we're carrying around millions of dollars and Lord knows what else is being injected into us.
I'm wondering, maybe you guys will completely disagree with me or not, but I think that the conditioning for all this started a long time, even before we want to talk about it. And what I mean by that is, let's go way back to the original Wizard of Oz. Okay, you got the Scarecrow and all, right? Okay, so you know that's kind of conditioning people to, okay, you know, whatever. Then you, like David was saying, the $6 million man. Then there was I don't remember the name of the movie, but it was a little robot that he got hit by lightning or something and took on.
Yeah, number five is alive.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Yeah.
Short circuit.
Yeah. you know, you got all this stuff, and I can't help but think that this is all a conditioning thing to where machine and man. It's, you know, it sounds pretty cool. I mean, growing up, I saw the $6 million man. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, it'd be nice to do that. Yeah. But it's conditioning to where that machine can take you over, I think, is what I'm concerned about anyway. Yeah. David, what do you think?
Yeah, there's actually a lot more to that. And just to make sure everybody's clear, AI can never, ever, ever actually be intelligent. A 1 square millimeter of DNA has 470 petabytes of information. Just to give you an idea of what that is, if you get a high-end laptop, it will have a 1 terabyte hard drive on it. Everyone knows what a gigabyte is, and a terabyte is a thousand of those. A 470 petabytes is 470,000 terabytes. And that's just in your DNA structure. So they can't even produce enough computer software, because that's only in, you know, a teeny weeny little part of your DNA. And that's not the 3.2 billion letter code of that one strand that's put in there. So it's going to mimic artificial intelligence, but it won't actually be able to do that. But they're going to sell it along these lines. They're going to sell it as, hey, we put it in your chip and you'll be able to connect to the internet and you can understand all this stuff. It's the same story. Eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and you don't need God.
You can be God
without God.
It's all corruption. It's the corruption of human DNA, which is the whole reason for the flood in the first place.
Yeah. Right? And they want that because if they hybridize humans, then the Savior can't have a human to save. So Jesus is... his contract doesn't work, and then Satan thinks he won, and then he could take over all of creation. But the sentience that will be in the, if you look at it, it says clearly the image of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to have that all the time. We're going to have this image of the beast, and it's going to be a combination of that hologram and that statue and the thinking pattern and the AI. Mm-hmm. And Satan will be able to use that as a tool to mimic and make people think that he's real life. And that's kind of where we're going. But if you have the Holy Spirit, God is, you know, infinitely times more intelligent than Satan. That's why he says, if it were possible, even the elect would be fooled. Oh. But that's not possible if you know Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, Nestor, what is it like for the younger generation? I mean, you're the youngster here. How does the Gen X or Gen Z or whatever it is, how do they think about this merging of machine and man? Do they even talk about it? Is it something that's even on anybody's mind?
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story. I remember a few years ago, I went to a movie theater over in Puerto Rico when I was visiting my family. And we went to go watch, I think it was John Wick 3, and we were sitting in a movie theater. And mind you, my cousin, he was like 20 years old. I was like maybe going closer to like 30, 32 around there. So he was fairly young, you know, he was from that Gen Z generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him specifically sitting in the movie theater, and he's like leaning over and whispering to me, "What's going to happen next? What's going to happen?" And I'm like, dude, just sit down and watch the movie. Like, you paid $20. Like, you're going to see what's going to happen. And so I've noticed just this lack of patience from younger generations because they've been programmed to be on these devices that just gives them information just like that.
Right.
Like with a click of a button, I can just tell AI, hey, like, what's this movie all about? Just completely spoil it for me. And boom, you have that within like a nanosecond.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing this being reflected in their culture. And they, at least from what I've noticed, they don't necessarily, I guess, openly talk about it because it's just so normal to them. It's kind of like, you know, when you're living in a White House for so long, you don't talk about the White House. You're just like, I just come home and I just sit here. Like, whatever. That's like not really a thought. So I've noticed like a cognitive decline over the years, not just in my own generation, but then also in the younger generations as well, where now instead of actually sitting down and like thinking about like theological, philosophical things, kind of like we do, like the machine just thinks for you. Like, tells you. Like what's
so yeah, exactly. They're accepting being told what to do rather than figuring it out for themselves. Because I see just that with my grandkids.
Yeah, they're just consuming anything that's just fed to them. And it's like, yeah, if this is good, then I guess this is good. If this is bad, then I guess it's just bad. Like, that's just how things are. And so there's no one, like, it's like you're seeing the erosion of just independent thought, like, coming along with that. It's kind of scary. Like, sometimes I tell my wife, like, man, like, I cannot wait to get out of the city because I do not want to be here when I'm 70 years old and stuck in a nursing home because Lord knows what that's going to look like, you know.
Oh, they're going to make you take a shot.
All right, now look at this, guys, because we really need to get into this. This is the key technologist companies and research initiatives that are pushing this human-machine merging, the consciousness uploading, and post-human concepts. Number one on the list is Mr. Elon Musk and Neuralink. The Neuralink develops brain-computer interfaces, BCIs, aimed at merging human brains with AI for communication, memory enhancement, and eventually full brain-machine integration. That is terrifying. Musk has repeatedly said that this tech is needed for humans to remain competitive with AI. Then you've got DARPA and military projects, DARPA's Brain Initiative, and next generation non-surgical neurotechnology, or N3, aimed to create high-speed brain-computer links for soldiers, potentially enhancing cognitive and physical performance beyond their natural limits. And then you've got this Ray Kurzweil. He's Google's director of energy. David, it's one of them words again.
My engineering.
Thank you. It just wouldn't do it for whatever reason. I don't know why. anyway, he's a leading futurist, okay? And he advocates for the singularity or a future where AI surpasses human intelligence and humans merge with machines. He promotes the idea of mind uploading as a route to immortality. You got Brian Johnson and Cornell. He's the founder of Cornell, which developed advanced neurotech for memory enhancement and cognitive augmentation, publicly advocates for upgrading human cognition to keep pace with AI. Next up, you've got the transhuman think tanks, Humanity Plus, which is formerly the World Transhumanist Association. They advocate for enhancing humanity through tech, neural implants, genetic engineering, and AI-human convergence. Then you've got mind uploading and AI projects. This is a blue brain project, what they call it. It's EPFL in Switzerland, and OpenWorm are attempting to model entire brains digitally, laying groundwork for consciousness emulation. Nectome, a Silicon Valley startup, has openly researched brain preservation for future uploading. Now, I put a bunch of them up there at one time for you guys, but these are all companies that it seems like each one of them has the same goal. Let's merge humans with machines and come up with a new transhumanism. Let's come up with transhumanism. Humanity comes to an end, and now we are man and machine. And I'm going to say it right off the top. That sounds a lot like what Noah went through in the days of Noah, changing the human DNA. God had to come in and fix it because man couldn't. He told them that he was going to flood the earth. He did flood the earth, but he promised us he wouldn't do that again. But he didn't make a promise he wasn't going to do something again. David, I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Now, remember, before the flood, the whole ecosystem of the earth was completely different. You know, there was twice the atmospheric pressure that we have, which means the assimilation of oxygen was approximately three times what it is now. Mm-hmm. There was some kind of biodome around the Earth which filtered out the harmful rays from the sun and actually re-energized the electromagnetic field that's around the sun. Right now, it has a half-life of 1,500 years, so it's decaying. If you back that up and say, oh, yeah, we're a million years old, the magnetic field around the Earth would be too strong for cells to even develop. Mm-hmm. So evolution, you know, it's dead right out of the gate. But if you look at it from a catastrophe point of view, instead of like Second Peter says, oh, all things are as they always were. No, there was a catastrophe. It changed the Earth. The Earth cracked, the ring of fire broke. Okay, now the dome collapsed. We see that. Okay, the windows of heaven broke and all the water came in. So now there's less pressure. So now the oxygen, it can't be absorbed as much. That's why the bigger dinosaurs died off. So, but that was God in his mercy, because our DNA was so strong, we lived 900 years.
Right.
Okay. So they were able to manipulate the genome back then to a point where they can mix all these different species together. Mm-hmm. Well, God's like, okay, we can't have this happen. So let me dumb down their DNA for a while. Mm-hmm. And then in his mercy, he made us only live till, you know, 80, 100, 120, like he says, because the longer we live, the more evil we got. So he's like, these people. Mm-hmm. So, and it also dumbed down our DNA. And now we diluted to a point where they have to use technology to try and do the same thing, create a hybrid being. So they think they won, and then their children, who are locked up in the abyss, can come out and have bodies to inhabit. So that's pretty much where we are with that's the whole idea. And everybody is focused on this one thing. Oh, let me put your consciousness in here, because they're trying to steal the soul, if you would. You know, because obviously your spirit's not going to live on in a computer chip and then your memories are going to come back later. That's just, that's ridiculous to even think of that. But people think, oh, my memory is a little bit. No, you know, you have a spirit. That's where it all lies. But they're trying to get that because they need some form of sentience to put into these machines. And so every single one of these, that's what they're trying to do, is merge them, because they're looking for bodies for their kids.
Well, Nestor, I want to get your comments on this as well, but I want to also remind everybody about somebody that, now, I don't know about you, Nestor, but me and David will remember the guy for sure, and it's Walt Disney himself.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, he's just one of a number of people who came down with cancer, and they supposedly froze him. And they froze him in whatever you call those chambers, and was going to bring him back. Yeah, that's it. After they cured cancer, okay? Well, they found out, I don't know, several years later, maybe 20 years later, that somehow somebody got irritated because he didn't fit or something. They cut him in half and put him in there. So I don't think that's going to work anymore. But what I have heard here, and I'm getting numerous reports on this, is that they're now taking the brain of people, and you saw that a little bit in the report that I read, taking the brain of individuals and putting that in those frozen states, thinking that they're going to bring them back. I don't think anybody's actually tried this yet. You know, it's all in test mode, I guess, whatever you want to call it, or future mode or whatever. But it kind of fits in what we are talking about, if anybody wants to do any research on it. But anyway, Nestor, I wanted to get your impression of what you felt about all these different individuals that seem to be merging humankind with machine.
You know, whenever I see this stuff, it's like I look at the technology and I look at like their ideals and kind of like all these things they're planning, and it's like, you know, like if we lived in a perfect world, like that all sounds really, really, really cool, right? And I can see it working out, but the problem is we don't live in a perfect world,
right?
We live in a sinful world.
Well,
right?
What?
I go back. Right, it's such a shock, right? We just found this out. I think David was born yesterday.
So
you have to examine the heart of man whenever they're going after these pursuits. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. And so that's really what gets in the way of these really, really cool ideas, because at the end of the day, it really just gets in the middle, or rather, it really just tries to supersede God's plan for creation, God's plan for the universe, God's plan not just for just the wider creation, but for us as individuals.
Right.
And so whenever we pursue this, it's almost like we're trying to relinquish control away from God and then give it onto us, just like how we did in the garden. And shocker, didn't work out. And I think we're slowly going to go into another period where we're going to highly just, you know, go after these technological advances. And as you see in the days of Noah, it did not go good. And so you're going to see a repeat of this stuff, but you know, in a very, very just weird, but also just creepier manner, because now you have modern technology involved. So like you'll have something like, I don't know if you guys ever watched that movie Virus, where there was like this alien virus that like went into a ship and it just basically just started like using all these like robotics to like mutate itself and basically sort of physically manifest itself. And I can imagine like a serious scenario where that could probably happen, where we maybe just, you know, invent some sort of AI and this thing just goes around and it's like, hey, let me see what I can do here to kind of just try to manifest myself in this world, you know, tell these people I'm actually God, you know, this Jesus, I don't know who you're talking about. I'm God. I know everything, and see how many people I can bow down. And yeah, it's going to be really, really disturbing.
Well, you know, I'm not trying to insult the younger generation. It may sound that way, but I'm really
not.
But the thing is they're so used to having electronics do this and do that, you know, whereas, shoot, I didn't even have a microwave oven until I was probably 20 years old. I mean, it didn't
exist. Oh, those are just bad for your food anyway. Throw that thing out.
You know? Well, I'm just saying, you know, that there was a limit to technology then.
Right.
Now it seems like everything is in the realm of electronics, and the kids, you know, they depend on it. We've talked about the kids sitting around the corner, you know, in a circle, texting each other rather than talking. You know, the reliance on technology is so big right now that it's really kind of scary. So you look at these other tech pioneers like Peter Diamandis, Singularity University. He's pushing for an exponential tech advance to redefine what it means to be human. And then you got Demis Hassabis, I guess, with DeepMind. He's spoken on AI, human cognitive enhancement possibilities. So when you look at the prophetic and ethical concerns, these projects are not science fiction. They are actively funded right now, publicly promoted, and deeply rooted in the desire to conquer death without God, reflecting the ancient lie, ye shall not surely die, from Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. David, what do you think?
Well, I want to start out with the the caveat that, in fact, Walt Disney being frozen is a rumor.
Yeah, okay. True. Okay.
Yeah. So just in case anyone thinks, you know, we're there, we recognize that, it was a rumor. He actually died in what, like? I think it was December of 66, and then
it was a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But the idea was that's not really the important part. The important part was everyone was starting to get all excited about, hey, we can freeze people and bring them back later. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of threw Disney in the mix there as well. So I don't know if he's turning over in his urn or not.
Right.
Ah, that was good, right? I just brought that up because
that's a good point, though, David, because anyway, we don't want to tell people a lie. So that is a good point. Thank you for bringing that up.
So I do like the story. However, the family insists that that's not true.
Okay.
So as far as these human cognitive things, think of why they're force feeding us aluminum since we're born. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what it does to your mind and your body all through that is there's mercury. They put all sorts of stuff in these shots. All of a sudden the babies are broken and we got to give them these man-made shots as soon as they're born or else they're going to die. Oh my God. Yeah. They're doing this on purpose because now when people get older, they're going to have cognitive decline because we never really did before, but now we're starting to see all these things. So now they have a cure. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
If you want people to take your cure, you got to create the problem. So they've created this problem for years. So now people are hooked on these pharmaceuticals. Oops, that sorcery in the Bible is called pharmakia. It's sorcery. It's witchcraft. Mm-hmm. So this is where we're at, where they're manipulating our bodies to bring them to a point where they have the answer for us.
Well, now we are going to continue this discussion in our next show, and I do encourage you guys to hang in there for it. I think that you're going to learn a lot more than you already have, and I bet you we've pointed out some things to you that you've never heard before because it's not being told to you in the propaganda media.
The Walt Disney movie.
Yeah. So anyway, David, you want to take us out of the show here?
All right. Now, this goes right back to the original contract. You know, Adam and Eve were given explicit terms and conditions. You will take dominion over the earth. You take dominion over the land, the plants, the animals, everybody. You'll be fruitful and multiply, and you'll subdue it, which means if it gets out of line, you put it back in line. We would have control over this, which is why Satan was upset, because he wanted control over everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and one more caveat. Don't eat that.
Yeah.
And don't eat that, man. Don't, you know, you're trying to eat of the knowledge of good and evil. And here we are again. You're trying to be like God without God. And we are in the same thing. And it says, you're not going to die. All right, come on, get out of here. That's the same lie today. No, come on. It's AI. Don't worry. You'll live forever. It's going to be fun. And it's the same old story. You're not going to die. But they're going to steal that body and they're going to try and use it for their own. So we told you this is going to be weird, not like church. In the meantime, If you have not received a contract from Jesus Christ, I suggest that you receive that contract in his blood. And Lord willing, we will see you guys on the next show. Bye.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality and prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, every action you take fuels the message. So stay informed, stay bold, and above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.